Well, grace and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning, everyone. So, in our letter of 2 Corinthians, written by a man named Paul, the Apostle Paul, in this letter we learn that Paul is kind of out and about on a fundraising mission. As he writes to the church in Corinth, he invites the Corinthian believers to give generously towards those who are in need in a far-off region surrounding Jerusalem, because the people in Jerusalem and in Judea are undergoing a severe famine, and food is scarce. And so Paul, as he travels about preaching the Word of God, as he travels about planting new churches and visiting churches that he already has planted, he is also out fundraising. And in this case, he sent a letter to a former church of his to ask for funds so that those who are in need could be supported. And reading between the lines in Paul's letter, it looks like the Corinthian church, this little house church in Corinth, had earlier promised to give money to this very need. And Paul's letter is serving kind of as a gentle reminder of the Corinthians' promise. Apparently, Paul felt that this gentle reminder was needed. Our world today is in many ways different than Paul's. In many ways, it is not. People are still in need of that which Paul was bringing. People are desperately in need of the gospel. They are desperately in need of the Lord's word of forgiveness, of love, of restoration. They are in need of the Lord to come in and change their hearts. People in today's world are also still in desperate need of your basic material goods for life. Food, water, clothing, shelter, all these things. How many hurricanes can a little country like Puerto Rico endure, or Haiti? You know, my brother-in-law has a mission down in Haiti, and he goes down there quite often, and I swear every time they get some footing, another earthquake or another hurricane comes through and sets them back. How much can people endure? And then you think of places like Texas and Florida and the Gulf Coast and all they've gone through this year. Houston's streets were rivers, vastly flooded. At one point, it seemed like the entire state of Montana was on fire. They're still looking for people under the rubble in Mexico from earthquakes that just happened recently. This is all recent stuff. Our world is in desperate need. They need financial help. They need material help. They need people to go down and work and help them in that way too. And all over the world, there are families who have lost everything, and many of them don't have what we have, which is faith. Faith to fall back on, or even a community of believers around them to be supported by. Many of them even lack that. When you hear of the state that Chicago is in with all the murders in Detroit and the violence that goes on in some of these cities, you even get a clearer picture of how the depravity of life is in some of these places. They have no hope because they have no faith. And since they have no faith, they have no life. Throughout this world, there are people in desperate, desperate need, both physically and spiritually. But in this world, there also stands the people of God. You and I, and churches all around this country, all around this world, these are the people of God. And who better to bring aid to those in need than those who can also bring the gospel? Who better to bring work and labor than those who can also pause and pray with those who are broken? Those who can introduce a person to Christ, who better to go than the ones who know Jesus Christ, the hope of the nations? Those who are blessed and cared for by the one who brought all things into being, that's you. And we have been called to help others. So Paul, in this letter, is writing an appeal to his people, his church, these Christians, and he's appealing to them to continue to be generous, cheerful givers. And so he says, God can bless you with everything you need, and you will always have more than enough to do all kinds of good things for others. You will be blessed in every way, and you will be able to keep on being generous. What you are doing is much more than a service that supplies God's people with what they need. It is something that will make many others thank God. It's just like the children's sermon. At the head of the triangle, let's picture it as a triangle. At the head of the triangle, the top of the triangle, stands the Lord, who blesses his people that he has called into faith with everything they need, Paul says. And these people then are expected by the Lord to go and bless others, whether it's other brothers and sisters in Christ who are in need, or whether it's those who have no faith. You have been blessed by God, and so you are commanded and called to go and bless others. And the happy result of that blessing is that they return God's grace back to him in thanks and praise. And sometimes, even in faith, a brand new saving faith. This is what we are called to do. Now, I said this last week, and I'll say it again. Heidi tells me it's some kind of sociological mumbo-jumbo. I don't know. All I know is what it is that what you do as a Christian reflects what you believe. In other words, your faith is shown by what you do. What you believe then really determines what you do. If you are a cheerful giver, whether it's financially, whether it's in your abilities, whether it's at home sitting in your chair praying for those that are around you, those that you know, those that are listed in our bulletin week after week, whatever it is, sending a card, that reflects what you believe. All the good that you are called to do, which is to live a life of faith and obedience to the will of God and to be generous with what you have, flows from the faith you have. We do the good of the gospel for others because of the good the gospel has done for us. Earlier in this letter, Paul says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ." You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You have received it in the forgiveness of sins. You've received it through the word, the sacrament. We sing of it in song. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich. And that doesn't speak of material wealth. It speaks of the richness of the grace of Christ that is in you. And that grace should overflow so that it pours out to all those around us. The grace of God has come richly into your life through the forgiveness of sins, through the love of Jesus Christ that he has given to you, and it also comes to you in the grace-filled gifts he has given you. It might be hospitality, it might be financial security, it might be the ability to sit down and pray for another person, it might be the ability to do some good old-fashioned hard work for someone who can't. Regardless of what it is, God has given you grace in forgiveness and grace in ability. And so, as one given much grace from God, you are called then to give to others. And don't give hesitantly a hug like the kids do. If God has called you to give, you don't hesitate. You grab that person in your arms and you squeeze them so that they know the love of Christ. Let us pray. O gracious Lord, you have blessed us richly in many different ways. Help us, O Lord, to know how you have gifted us so that we may be a blessing to others, fulfilling their needs spiritually and physically, and that they may then give thanks back to you. We pray this in your name, O Lord. Amen.